I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 81, Episode 1 of
Your Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah. A production of iHeartRadio? This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially, off the top, fuck Coke Industries.
Fuck it.
And fuck it, Foxit Newses.
Fuckery.
All of them.
I declare fuckery.
It's Monday, May 6, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Three kids in a trench coat at the movie theater attempting to buy tickets to see Pootie Tang for some reason. That AKA is courtesy of Xenu's Measles Yacht.
Very timely.
Shout out to him. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Wake up! Grab your keys and put a little Greg up! Why do you leave the weed up on the table? Here you go, create another fresh egg! Why did he leave the weed up on the table? You wanted to!
Okay, so that was Chop Suey, and I could have kept going, but I felt bad because I didn't have the instrumental, and I respect Surge and the rest of System of a Down. Toxicity, just a side note, I think is one of the greatest albums of all time. Yeah, I'm putting it out there. I really love Toxicity. You can listen to that shit front to back, and really put me onto a lot of shit in a time when I was only listening to rap, so thank you to that. And that one, of course, comes from Ad Soltis Hana.
Nah. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented comics artist, Kim Winder.
Hello.
Hi. Hey, Kim.
Thanks for having me.
First time, long time.
Yes.
We just found out.
Yeah.
And you're not lying.
Not lying.
I have a Zeitgang tattoo.
Right.
Yep.
That did rub off, but we'll still call it a tattoo.
Going to get it back on my butt cheeks, I promise.
Thank you for even letting us see it. Yeah.
And you are the author of the drawing of me with high nipples, shoulder
the
nipples.
Viral image, yes.
Yeah, the viral and image.
Oddly enough, you are also wearing a V-neck today.
I am.
Was it intentional?
For this, yeah.
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 Okay.
See, my nipples aren't that high and in the middle of my chest.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They're not on my neck, at
Kim
least.
And I just exchanged an okay. For sure, dude.
Well, Kim, they're fine. And there's a normal number of them, too.
Wow, Nipspiracy.
We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about today. We're going to check in with is this like a chart that tells you which scam you are according
like fun,
to your sign?
It's like a fun quiz. You
fun
know,
quiz.
From L.com.
All right. We're going to talk about a famous pervert who has launched a podcast with his daughter called Why Am I Telling You This? Why am I telling you this?
All in.
We're going to talk about how The Navy has started allowing pilots to report UFOs, which is a new thing, apparently, because they're seeing so many of them. It's sort of terrifying. We're going to talk about Elizabeth Warren, your dad's least favorite political candidate for 2020. But one of our favorites. She's up there. She's doing it. We're going to talk about jobs you can get without a bachelor's and where to go to find them. Amazon being the new version of your local news, making the world in your direct neighborhood seem scarier than it actually is. Oprah's ability to give baby shower gifts, pretty good. You won't be surprised. But Kim, first, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Recently, I looked up Bloody Marys.
Okay.
For a comic. At sleepovers, I don't know if you guys still have them.
Yeah, but, yeah. We just had one last night.
Okay. Mm-hmm. When you go to the bathroom, turn out the light, and you say Bloody Mary three times, and she's supposed to appear.
Right.
So I wanted to use the idea for a comic, but the internet loves to tell you when you're wrong.
Right.
So I just wanted to Google it and make sure I was right, but then went down a terrible rabbit hole of the actual Bloody Mary. Queen Elizabeth the First, her sister, who just slaughtered Protestants left and right.
Yeah.
So
yeah, not that cool.
No. Yeah.
What was the thing you were trying to get right about Bloody Mary? Like just the mechanics of how the Bloody Mary thing works?
Yeah. Right. Like my sleepovers, it was turn out the light, had a flashlight, and then spin around three times and say it. But I didn't know if that was like my hometown version
of it
versus how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
And then get all the comments back like, no, you did it wrong.
Shout out to all the little kids who got too scared at a sleepover and whose parent had to come pick them up like late at night.
Yeah.
And then they would be forever shamed at school. They're like, fool didn't make it through the sleepover party, bro, because he's too scared.
I did that a bunch when I was like at my first sleepover when I was like four or five.
Whoa, four or five? Damn.
Yeah, it was just at like a single friend's house, and he was younger than me, and he also left when he tried to sleep over at my house, so it was all right.
Younger than you? So you're hanging out with three-year-olds as a four-year-old?
Yeah, I guess so. Or no, I guess I was five and he was four or something like that.
It's still provocative.
Explains a lot, yeah.
Intriguing.
So I didn't get made fun of at school for it, is my point.
Yeah, I remember I had a sleepover party, and I'm not going to say who, but I believe this one kid peed in my bed because he didn't have a fucking sleeping bag. So he slept in my bed and peed my bed.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how could there be any confusion about that? Was there?
Because my mom was like trying to, I think, keep me because I'm an only child, and like a 6-year-old only child is a fucking just a nightmare human. So like the idea of some fuck face pissing my bed, I think she was like, he's not going to handle.
Right.
And then
so
I remember my mom was like,
"Oh, your bed and peed on it?"
No. She was like acting like I couldn't sleep in it.
Oh.
Or she was like, "No, hold on. I was like, "What the fuck is going on?" And she was like changing the sheets and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then someone was like, "I think ... peed in your bed."
Wow.
That's terrible. I think that means it's his bed though.
Right.
I know.
I think he owns the bed
he
now.
He owns that
According
bed
to the law of the kingdoms.
I've peed in every bed I've been in.
Yeah.
That's just how you let the world know.
I know. We're still paying all those fees from all the hotels we stay in.
What is something you think is overrated?
Just going to come in hot and say POV porn.
POV porn.
Yeah.
Okay.
It just... One, it's disrespectful to the partner. I don't want a camera in my face. Your dick's already in me. Let's get to the moment.
Okay.
Right.
And then as a viewer, you get a great angle, and then they fucking move. And I'm looking at the guy's chest or at the bed sheet.
Right.
It's
like
just
homemade
not fun.
POV porn where it's like the person is not very skilled at doing the camera work.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And you can tell they're enjoying it, but I'm not enjoying it. If
right.
you're going to upload it, I want to be able to enjoy what I'm viewing. And I can't do like Brazzers or just porn that's scripted because it's just too fake. You can't enjoy it.
Right, also
it
costs money.
Yeah.
Right. Nobody got Brazzers money. Even
exactly.
the wealthy don't have Brazzers money.
Bang Bros? I don't know.
That's old, yeah. Bang Bros, Mofos, they're all out there. Onion Booty.
Go on.
No, booty was
Miles'
hey man, because that booty would make you cry.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. What is your preferred method of, I guess, type of cinematography for a scene?
Really, just have a good angle and stick the camera there and go at it.
Do you like multiple cuts or are you like a one locked off shot?
You know what? Multiple cuts would be preferred.
Yeah, sure.
Like, if you're going to take the time to upload it to the internet, just put out your best work.
What do you think about the wave of porn that's like just about like pure passion and it's just like very softly lit.
Right.
And it looks like a soap opera, but the people be like making out hardcore.
Like the people seem convincingly in love with one
another.
Yeah,
like because that's a whole genre. Obviously, like every time on the front page of any of these sites, it's always like, stepsister keep a secret and you're like, what the who the fuck is that for, like why am I, but then there's the other ones where I'm seeing more of the just the passionate ones and maybe people are like they've gotten so cynical with their porn that they're like I just want to see love again.
Yeah, like X-rated The Notebook scene.
You sure? Where
just they actually went through with it. That's fine. It really depends on my mood.
Yeah, right. Sure, it's all mood, yeah.
But really,
it's specifically, by the way, the Ferris wheel scene from The Notebook. So it's very acrobatic.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's kind of impressive, yeah.
No, that handstand was great.
Right.
It's, yeah. So POV porn, it's overrated.
It had its time.
Yeah. It's great. And I think probably from a guy's perspective, it's a bit more enjoyable.
Right.
But
is there POV porn from a woman's perspective?
With just some dude sweating on you?
Yeah. Just like over top of you?
That's just scary.
Right. Yeah, that's just not interesting.
Yeah. And then, you know, cowgirl style, you want to grip things. So I can't hold a camera unless I get like something on my head, a GoPro.
Right.
That's what they need to do. See?
Is that what they're doing? That seems like what they should be doing, right?
Well, sometimes you do see ones where you see both arms and you're like, okay, so they're using some kind of rig.
Yeah. Right.
Other times,
or their friends like just like over it. Top. Just
yeah, just like over, like hand on the dude's shoulder. Like, yeah. Right.
I would be more interested to see photos of them doing that than the porn itself.
Right.
And then the porn.
Yeah, right. Behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Behind I would watch the behind the making of POV porn.
That right. would be really fun.
Actually, the making of all homemade porn is probably more interesting than anything because it involves like the conversation.
No one has
like the
proper
person
equipment.
Fucking up at it. Yeah, probably like, better camera angle.
How do we get the camera to stay there? I don't know, put a book underneath it and then tilt it.
Right.
Get a tripod.
Amen.
Yeah. Reverse cowgirl POV porn from the woman's perspective. It's just the dude's naked feet.
Just looking at the dude's toes curl up and shit.
Oh, I think he just, yeah.
And like, there you go. Toenails are dirty. I got dirty toenails.
What is something you think is underrated?
Incest. No, I'm kidding.
Stepsister, step porn, stepmother porn.
Actually, Stephen King, the author.
Stephen King?
King.
Oh, okay. Oh. I thought this was more
hard
at
G.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the author, not the racist.
Okay.
And
okay, that would be very interesting.
Yeah. But I think people shit on him a lot.
Right. Third act problems.
Yeah.
People always point out he doesn't know how to end a story or whatever.
That, and then because of his genre is a lot of horror, and he does do some weird stuff. But
right.
We got The Shining. We have Pet Sematary. We have these really, really great novels from him, and people just think he's a trash author or maybe just a paperback, nothing special. He's not the Mark Twain of our time, but I think
he's
could
given
be.
Us, yeah, he's given us a lot of ideas
and
that
a lot
we're still using.
A lot of people just base his stuff off the movies they see, and it's so hard to translate a Stephen King novel into a film. Like Pet Sematary, I don't think it did very well. I didn't see it.
The first one?
The first one, and then they just did a remake.
Right, which was like a Netflix or
no, it was full theater.
Studio.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
But how do you translate the loss of a small child and dealing with that grief visually when you really got to describe it in depth, and he does that very well.
Right. And so, I think if you did it in a way that honored his text, like the films would be too intense for people to even watch. Like, the first part where the person lost a child, I was already checked out because it was.
Oh, yeah. So, like, you lose your kid and then you're grappling with your mental health and you're literally selling your soul to bring him back any way you can. And just, it's deep and dark. And he's very good with these big overall themes. He does muddle the plot at times in certain books.
Sure.
But like Pet Sematary is my favorite. I read it cover to cover in one night and I could not fucking sleep. I was terrified.
Right.
So I think he should be appreciated more for his work and
than judging him off the films or something.
Yeah.
What's the one, what's a Stephen King film that you felt did the book, the source material justice?
The Green Mile was pretty good.
And interesting.
That didn't come out in one single novel. I believe he did it in like excerpts, you know, sections.
Yeah.
But that was pretty
serialized.
True. There we go.
Okay.
He wrote that well and they translated well. You also have a great cast like Tom Hanks. How do you fuck that up?
Right. And it is peak Tom Hanks. Like the thing that his career has all been going towards, this is something I pointed out in a Cracked podcast, is he always likes to pee, like have like pee things.
There's a lot of,
there's a lot of peeing. Forrest Gump, I gotta go pee.
I gotta go pee,
There's like a peeing scene. That's how he gets away from the weird people in the Burbs, is he's like pretends he has to go pee.
Oh.
He gets pissed on by the house in the money pit. Like his whole career is just like pee based. Like in
my mind is blown.
In Castaway, there's a scene where he, like, the one thing that wouldn't be, you wouldn't have a question about is like, where do you pee on this desert island?
Right.
But they make a point of showing him pee like in the ocean. Apollo 13, there's a big scene where he pees and it like gets shot out into space.
Oh, yeah. Whoa.
Yeah. Holy so, God. And then the Green Mile, I think, is the culmination of all this.
It's because shaky pee.
His character has an issue peeing.
Yeah.
So his character's central conflict is urinary.
Kidney stones or something like that.
Yeah.
And then, gets full on crotch grabbed.
Yeah.
Like Trump style.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Could you imagine him and Tarantino together? It would just be pissing on feet.
Yeah.
The whole thing would be like, and then I piss on these feet, Tom.
Yeah. My least favorite thing about Stephen King is that he doesn't like the movie The Shining, which I just can't get over that.
Have you read the book?
No.
Bro.
Okay. My bad.
Damn. Yeah. So Chess passed the ball right back to you, bro.
Have you read the book?
It's two separate things. Like, I could go on about like Stephen King and Mark Hamill forever just because I feel like they're so underappreciated for just their works in general. But The Shining is totally different from the book and the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's deeper, darker. A lot of that mental stuff that I was saying earlier, it's just, it's hard to translate.
It's darker than the movie?
Yeah.
Jesus. Have you read All That You Love Will Be Carried Away, his short story?
No.
It's like non-horror, and it's just like he was like, I'm going to write one of these New Yorker short stories, and it's fucking fantastic. It's just like he completely, completely nailed it. But yeah, he's like one of our great authors that probably down the road people will be like, yeah, he was not just a genre artist. He was like a great American author.
I think so.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
People from the Disney marketing and advertising are normal humans.
That's what people think.
That,
and
yeah,
you know.
They are not. They're probably psychopaths. They just, they know how to target your most vulnerable, nostalgic thoughts as a kid, a family, growing up in general, and they will pinpoint it and just take you down. And I don't hate them for it. I would love to know how they work on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're not normal.
Yeah,
they tend to get people to buy their stuff.
Yeah, they're pretty good at that.
Yeah.
What is there a particular moment? Like, it does seem, in retrospect, cruel that they killed Bambi's mom. Like, because that is a movie for children. It was like the 40s or like 50s. It was like, damn, man. Like,
I couldn't watch it because of that part.
Yeah. No, that's like a real, I mean, and I that expands to all Disney movies. Like all Disney movies, the parents are dead or gone or just don't exist. And I mean, that's part of the joy of like watching them as a kid is like, whoa, what if me, Home Alone type thing?
Right.
You know, what if I was in charge?
What if I murked my parents?
Right. But
and there were no rules.
Yeah.
Home Alone.
Yeah.
Have you seen the like, it's like a how to draw a Disney character guide from like back when Disney was around, Walt Disney, And it's just all these like little tricks that it's like the big eyes are playing on the fact that like our brain is hacked to see babies as beautiful. And like,
oh, yeah,
the only thing that never grows in a human is like the eyes. So they're like huge when you're a baby. And so they're just like, it's all these things that like they knew, he knew about like how the human mind worked that he's just like laying out.
Oh, right.
It's fucked up, man.
Yeah. So they know how to target you and they'll get you to buy whatever they need you to buy. And what, they're going on 100 years now? Strong?
Yeah, yeah, man. And shit. Some dark stuff in, yep, in the history. And fortunately, they're not litigious at all, so we can say whatever we want about them. They're usually very understanding.
Yeah.
I'm an annual pass holder, and I have them tattooed on my body, so please forgive me.
Oh, wow. You have the marketing people?
No, she has the AP sticker, the bumper sticker people have.
Sorry.
The Mickey head and AP.
I have a hidden Mickey tattoo.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, right next to the zeitgeist.
Nice. There you go. Well, all right. Let's get into talking about our signs. Let's get personal.
So, Anna, you sent this in our thread, huh? Like the L.com article.
Soup's producer, Anna Hosnia.
Yes. So she sent in our group thread, she was just like, there's this L.com thing that says, which scam are you according to your sign?
Okay.
And this just seems like stupid, but fun because we like a scam here and I'm down with the astrology. Sorry. Oh, I guess it first came from a Lacey Mosley, which brought it to Anna's attention, which then trickled its way to our text.
I mean, so, when I clicked on it, I was surprised it wasn't written by Lacey Mosley.
Yeah, exactly. And then her Venmo attached at the bottom.
Because it is, which scam are you according to your sign?
It's like, and I'll tell you behind this paywall.
Right.
So let's start with you, Kim. What's your sign?
I am a Libra.
You are a Libra, which would make you the Anna Delvey, a.k.a. Anna Sorokin. This scam has all the elements that would appeal to luxury-loving Libras. High fashion, fabulous friends, all the way down to the party girl herself, Anna, who is originally from Russia, tricked hotels, businesses, and friends out of at least $270,000 by posing as a German heiress. She's currently undergoing trial, where she faces up to 15 years in prison, but continues to amaze us with her style.
That's
on brand. You're wearing a nice little frock today, or what do you call this thing? I don't even know the fucking words I'm using.
I don't know. It's cute. It's nice. But really, like, I tricked you guys into thinking I'm talented, and here I am.
Wow. Oh, shit. Yeah. Damn. There you go. Scam alert.
Yeah.
Jack, you're a Leo.
I am.
And that's, we'll leave it there. No, you are college admissions hoax.
Yeah.
Wow. Leos are the ultimate performers, and for them, all the world's
guilty
a stage.
Guilty as charged, guys.
Not only were two high-profile actresses, Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman, caught at the center of this scam, they helped others act their way through the college admissions process. According to sources, the two helped celebrities' children. Okay, whatever. We get that.
I mean, I'm just your stereotypical theater kid, you know, just overly dramatic. We'll break into song every once in a while. Mm-hmm. No, I am like the anti-Leo Leo. Like, I don't really have the personality traits of a Leo. Like, aren't Leos like strong and domineering?
Yeah, and like very much like, hey, look at me. I'm the Leo. The Leo just pulled up.
Right.
Rawr.
Yeah. And I usually crawl into rooms so that people can't see me.
Yeah,
Yeah, and then just like kind of slowly.
You're kind of like Buster Bluth.
Right. Just sort of like exactly.
Never seen, neither seen nor heard.
Yeah. But the college admissions hoax, I mean, yeah, I could see myself getting pulled into that. I don't think I would have thought of that, but I could see like.
Is that why you have your kids rowing right now?
Yeah, exactly. No, but like your love for, it's basically exploiting your love for your child. Like, and also a superficiality, which I guess I hope I don't have, but, you know.
That V-neck?
That V-neck.
Thank you. See, we're seeing the same.
V-neck is superficial.
Well, you care. You definitely care.
Fuck boy brand, man.
You're trying to show off that C hair, that chest hair.
Uh-huh.
And for me, Virgo, Frank Abagnale. Which I like this.
Oh, damn. Well, of course I see why you wanted
King
to do
God.
This one. Like,
no, I didn't even look. I literally just looked now.
Uh-huh.
Sure. The meticulous shadiness. Jesus Christ, just starting that. Undertaken by Frank Abagnale, made infamous in Catch Me If You Can, is exactly the kind of scam that would excite detail-oriented Virgos. Frank was one of the first check forgers and reportedly passed $2.5 million of phony checks in every U.S. state and 26 countries. Virgos are known for their ability to fly under the radar.
Yeah, we fly are under the radar.
They call
Miles did.
They call me the stealth bonger. I'd be high. Yeah, thank you, DJ Dan.
DJ Daniel, by the way, has been producing the podcast, and I'm not going to say that wasn't a Warren bomb drop because it was, but you'll notice the bomb drops are pretty
aggressive.
They're all over.
Last
the
place. Episode was pretty heavy.
Yeah, well, he's a DJ. You know what I mean? Hit him with that air horn, that dance hall horn. See, that's his whole brand.
Wait, was mine not as good then? Is he just throwing this stuff away?
I don't know. You know, I pay him on the side to give me more drops, so
okay,
it's
okay.
Kind of an unspoken thing. And Anna, what's yours? You're Gemini. You're the Gemini. So that would make you the Russian trolls during the 2016 election. Gemini represents journalism, facts, and communication on the Russian fake social media ads. Okay, perfect storm of all these things. Good for you. See, we're just a bunch of scammers in here.
Damn, I'm trying to look at which would be the worst one. I mean, probably college admissions scandal would be the worst one.
Yeah,
and it's others. I guess catfishing isn't great, but at least they're successful at what they do. Right. Whereas college admissions scandal just sucks.
And for those interested, Aries is Fire Festival, Taurus is Detox Tea, Cancer is Gypsy Rose Blanchard and Dee Dee Blanchard, Libra. We already did that one. Scorpio, Dr. John Meehan, a.k.a. Dirty John, Sagittarius, Nigerian Prince Scam, Capricorn, Bernie Madoff, Aquarius, Theranos. That would have been kind of chill.
Yeah.
Pisces, catfishing. So
yeah. So it's interesting that you wanted to do this article that makes me the worst scam and you the Michael Jordan of scamming. It's interesting, Miles.
You know.
I think it's fair.
Yeah. And look, that's just my fucking shifty Virgo ways, bro. Mm. You walked right into my trap. Catch me if you can.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess. The 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again. The First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances. And the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And so is Bill Clinton back on these airwaves.
He's coming in?
He has a podcast. He's not going to appear on this podcast, as he promised.
That would be wild if we could get Bill Clinton on this show.
He has launched, just be like, yo, man, the greatest way to promote your podcast.
Yeah. Hey, cross-pollinate, man. Cross-promote, man.
And hopefully he doesn't know that I introduced this segment by saying, famous pervert launches podcast with daughter called,
hey, Jack,
why
I heard
am
what
I
you
telling
said.
You this? Yeah, that just bothers me that it's called Why Am I Telling You This? Because it implies, like, dad having, like, some sort of, like,
oversharing.
Man. Yeah, oversharing, but, like, we know he is.
The oversharing podcast with Mr. Secrets.
Right.
I like sitting with my shoulders up cringing for a half hour. So I think this could be very successful.
You're going to love this
episode, what's
the
premise of the pod? Like, what's the whole idea behind
it? It's him talking to Chels.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's spark a blunt.
Your mother was a real tiger when she was young.
Anyway.
Did I tell you about this affair?
Right, exactly.
You want to see some POV porn?
Right. Oh, dude, dad. Okay, why am I telling you this?
Exactly.
Why are we telling anybody about this?
I don't know. It just bugs me. creeps me out. Let's talk about what I think would be front page news if the media was not biased against UFO stories.
Yeah.
But all right. So we've talked before about these Navy videos that were released that showed a Tic Tac, like flying object that looked like a Tic Tac that was making all sorts of maneuvers in the air that seemed impossible. And you have, you know, pilots in the background being like, that isn't possible. Wait, what's it doing now? And then it like just zips off and they're like, holy shit.
Right. Moving in ways like our current technology as we know it could not explain.
So I'm just going to kick this latest article off with a straight read of the opening of this article, which is in some bullshit conspiracy rag called The Washington Post.
All right, Bezos.
So it opens up, a recent uptick in sightings of unidentified flying objects, or as the military calls them, unexplained aerial phenomena, prompted the Navy to draft formal procedures for pilots to document encounters, a corrective measure that former officials say is long overdue. As first reported by Politico, these intrusions have been happening on a regular basis since 2014, so that's UFOs flying into military airspace. Recently, unidentified aircraft have entered military-designated airspace as often as multiple times per month. Joseph Gradisher, spokesperson for Office of the Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Information Warfare, told the Washington Post on Wednesday. Citing safety and security concerns, Gradisher vowed to investigate each and every report. He said, we want to get to the bottom of this. We need to determine who's doing it, where it's coming from, and what their intent is. We need to try to find ways to prevent it from happening again.
Oh, man. Do you think this escalates to, yo, next time you see one of them shits, shoot it the fuck down?
I think they probably would have already done that if the thing wasn't faster than our aircraft or any known aircraft.
Right, and they're like, I can't get a heat signature on it because it's like cold as ice and is moving in ways we don't know. I mean, I like to know that there are more of these things happening.
I mean, it adds mystery to the universe. I'm all about mystery. Like, that makes the world more interesting. It's just I always assumed they knew something and weren't telling us. And it seems like they were just too stodgy to acknowledge the thing that we all kept like having like little trace evidence of. They were just like, fine, I guess we'll acknowledge that there are these things that by the laws of physics, as we know them, don't make any sense.
I just think aliens are getting really bad at voyeur porn.
Yeah.
Right.
Just a theme, sorry.
They really are. They're just trying to flex on our airspace, and I welcome our alien overlords with open arms.
Well, so
our tentacles.
I mean, they seem to be like pissed off and thinking that it's something like being made by like other security like forces or other countries.
Right, because you don't want to just be like, yeah, man, we got to do something about these fucking aliens. Because right. You can't just jump to that conclusion well, quite yeah. yet. Yeah.
And I don't think the military mind is necessarily constructed to make room for aliens, right? Like the whole thing right. is, you know, country versus country warfare, nation versus nation. More from the article. In some cases, pilots, many of whom are engineers and academy graduates, claim to observe small spherical objects flying in formation. Others say they've seen white Tic Tac-shaped vehicles. Aside from drones, all engines rely on burning fuel to generate power. But these vehicles all had no air intake, no wind, and no exhaust. It's very mysterious, and they still seem to exceed our aircraft in speed, he said, calling it a truly radical technology. That's Chris Mellon, by the way, a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence and Staffers. These are official Pentagon dudes just being like, yeah, so UFOs are real. They're doing things that aren't physically possible. We don't know what to tell you.
I would just love, like I was telling you earlier, that we're so behind in science right. that like other countries have just figured out new forms of propulsion. And we're just here like, I don't know, fucking aliens, I think, probably. Right. It's another way to explain this because we're number one forever.
Yeah. Other dude who used to run the AATIP, which was the $22 million Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, which ran from 2007 to 2012 and, you know, used military technology and military personnel to investigate these things. So you're kind of hoping he like has some insight and is like, well, we have theories right. that aren't as interesting as the theories you have or aren't as scary, at least. Here's a quote from him. If I came to you and said, there are these things that fly over our country with impunity, defying the laws of physics, and within moments could deploy a nuclear device at will, that would be a matter of national security. And he just seems like, this type of activity is very alarming, and people are recognizing there are things in our aerospace that lie beyond our understanding. That's the dude who led.
Wow.
Like, this is fucking bonkers. And, like, it does seem like it should be front page news, but there's like a seriousness bias, I guess. So it's just like a thing that, I mean, it's even surprising that the Washington Post is acknowledging it.
Right. I mean, look, let's usher in the new era where we're right. like, yeah, man, we got these shits flying around. No one knows what they are, and maybe we need to put some serious effort into understanding it or.
Yeah. So.
Maybe
so,
it's mass hallucinations. I don't know, guys. Just what's real anymore?
So they just got to clean off the windshield a little bit better.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that would be
amazing.
They're
all seeing those floaters like, that you see in your eye, yeah. like when you look up at the sky.
But
like,
somehow eyelash. The cameras are seeing them too, and right. so are the radar.
Oh.
Sorry, I'm like very serious about this, guys.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay. No, shut up. Wrong.
Hey, no jokes, asshole.
So the big kind of change that is being reported in this Washington Post article is that there's now an official way for naval personnel to report these things, and that will officially be on the record. And the Navy, you know, it raised a bunch of interest in those official reports, and the Navy was quick to announce that there will be an open source database where anyone can log on and find out all the real-time information there is to know about all of the sightings. Nope, actually, they're announcing they won't be sharing any of that information with the public because fuck all of you.
Yeah.
So even though they don't have a better explanation and have no idea what's going on, they're just like, sorry, it's secret.
Well, this is a good way to start it. If we can't track it, if we can't like break it down, at least we can have the reports and say, oh, this Tic Tac and this Tic Tac did this zigzag and
right.
went off that way. So we can build the data.
Right.
Like, I'm not opposed to the belief of UFOs being aliens.
Yeah.
And I don't think the U.S. is so far backwards that we're so behind on technology that we can't.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah. So
it's just more for comedic effect, I think.
Oh, of course. Yeah, no. We're backwards in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it would be like a thing Mike Judge would write in a script.
Right.
That would
like,
be great.
The future of America where like Americans are so confused by other technology. It's aliens, man, and we're going to blow everything up.
But yeah, like you were saying, it seems like we should be using, like, putting all of the information together, like all of the eyewitness accounts and, you know, have some X-Files out there. Maybe they do and we just don't know about them.
Probably, but it's good to know that we have something started so we can learn from it slowly, gradually, and maybe get better in time.
What I'm going to say is this is great marketing for Tic Tacs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, talk about the Disney marketing people. Tic Tac is fucking crushing it.
They should make alien Tic Tacs.
Right.
Limited edition.
Well, all right. So now in, I guess, less important news, because all
Earth news
would be less important, Elizabeth Warren seems to be actually gaining momentum in the election. The latest polls have her kind of going forward into third place in some of them.
One of them, she's in second place behind Biden.
Right, behind Biden.
Or in one of them.
Yeah, so, you know, we've been kind of saying, why isn't Elizabeth Warren doing better? She's actually like putting out all these really interesting, thoughtful policy positions. And it seems like maybe she's starting to pick up traction by just announcing reasonable, smart, brilliantly thought out policy one after another.
Yeah, she's like, hey, canceling student debt. You good with that?
Right.
Hi, are we concerned with African American women's maternity care?
Right.
No. Okay, good. Y'all are on. Okay, and now Puerto Rico?
Yeah.
It's like she's trying to be fucking president or something.
I know.
Shit.
What's her deal?
But look, her most recent plan she unveiled on Medium, so youthful, was just basically to like really take a look at Puerto Rico's recovery and more specifically their debt, because that's the biggest thing that's holding the territory behind. And in this really well-written post on Medium, she was saying it wasn't just the Trump administration's inept response, though. One of the biggest constraints holding back the recovery has been Puerto Rico's debt. Revenue needed to provide services to residents is instead going to pay off old debts, with few investors unwilling to put money into rebuilding Puerto Rico with its massive debt overhang because they see no clear path to earning a return on their investment. And so there was a bill that was created called PROMESA that she voted against that was going to be handling the way the debt was going to be handled. And her whole point is like, look, if Puerto Rico, like she says, quote, were a big company in this kind of financial trouble, it could file for bankruptcy, pay some of its debts, discharge the rest, then start rebuilding. If Puerto Rico were an American city in this kind of financial trouble, it could do the same. But because Puerto Rico isn't a corporation or city, because of its unique status, those legal options aren't available. So it's caught in a terrible position. So her whole deal is like, okay, great. Let's begin to figure out how we can cancel this debt, move forward. And then one of the biggest things is that like a lot of the people who hold the debt of Puerto Rico are in these like vulture funds. And they, quote, buy debt of a borrower in trouble, usually for pennies on the dollar, and then pick the bones clean when the borrower can't pay. So in this one, it means that Wall Street investors get more money by slashing services and selling government assets and things like that. And the way the PROMESA bill is set up, it's prioritizing that Puerto Rico pay back its debt holders first rather than actually putting money back into the territory. So it's like it's just a fucking black hole and nothing. They can't. There's no way for us to actually dignifiably treat this debt and help the people of Puerto Rico, Americans.
Right. It's just a functionally, it's just a way to funnel money to Wall Street.
Yeah, basically. Essentially. And that's why she's also on top of that, wants an audit of Puerto Rico's debt to be like, how did we get here?
Right.
Because wants to make sure nothing untoward was happening, which it absolutely was. So, you know, hey, wow, look at that. Somebody, good idea. And like really kind of looking at an issue like Puerto Rico too, to help understand, you know, why it's in the place it is. And it's not just sort of like they're asking for too much money.
Yeah.
You already saw my Jay was wetty with the paper towels when I was
That's
there.
Right.
I think she really has her pulse or has the pulse of what's going on with millennials and most Americans right now, because debt is fucking everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she had my attention with student debt forgiveness. I'm in the hole and it's going to be with me for a long ass time. So by her hitting the point with Puerto Rico, I think that's awesome, just because it does give a viable solution and bringing to light the shadiness of possible government functions.
Yeah.
That's everything.
And the financial industry.
Yeah. that's everything that people want right now. We want to know what the fuck's going on with the government and how the fuck can I get out of debt?
Right.
So she's starting it early, driving it home.
Yeah.
I'm paying more attention to her now rather than Beto, who's standing on tables.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He's so good at doing that.
He is pro at standing on tables.
He's the one person who's, I mean, not the only person, but he seems to have fallen the furthest from, you know, early days when he first announced to where he's at now. He's just not really saying anything that's getting picked up.
Well, I think maybe because he's doing less like nationally visible stuff and he's really just focusing on turning out these like primary states, you know, like the caucus, like because in New Hampshire and Iowa, it seems like he wants to just make sure those people understand him first to try and rather than doing the kinds of things that are making the headlines that everyone's going to talk about. But we'll see. I mean,
I think he's a bit green behind the ears. Like he was our hero against Ted Cruz.
Right.
So that's how he got his platform. Good for him for fucking hustling. And I don't think he'll make it far this campaign, but he has the right mindset, I think.
I will sit here and watch him evolve.
Yeah, we can be patient. Yeah. We were talking off mic last week about how it seems like dads hate Elizabeth Warren, or a certain type of dad hates Elizabeth Warren. Like white cis male dads over the age of 50. Like part of it just seems like generally, you know, internalized misogyny and being like, it's not that I'm a misogynist, it's that her voice really gets, you know, like things
or
that
electability
are,
or something, likability or some other weird thing.
But I also think there's this like sort of soft, quiet propaganda campaign that's been going on ever since. So the way she made her name was by regulating the banks.
Yeah.
And bankers fucking hate Elizabeth Warren. And for a certain generation, like bankers and like rich Wall Street dudes are like the peak, like they're who you want to be. You want to be a rich,
right,
basically.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Like that's, I know a lot of people who took their education and went right into like hedge funds and just like fucking making as much money as they can, not like worried about like where it's coming from. And I think for them, like there's like the golf course, like oral tradition, like corridor where people where that like Elizabeth Warren hate is also coming from,
right.
Like the like sort of moderate Republican dads who like don't love Trump, but they also are like, but Elizabeth Warren and Hillary Clinton
remind me of a woman that emasculated me years ago.
School nurse.
But yeah, I mean, especially for banks, because she knows the whole game.
She gets it.
She sees the fucking Matrix and they're like, ooh.
So the thing that I think makes her unpopular and hated with a lot of those people is the thing that is powerful and, you know, should be interesting to people who are interested in, you know, things besides how to get their bank to make more money for them.
Right. You know, the process will continue and we'll see if people will see the field get further and further spread out.
Are you saying that you're going to trust the process, Miles?
I trust the process.
Okay.
See, cool. What annoys me about the DNC right now is we acted like I'm not a part of it, but I definitely lean that way. We acted like Republicans who said, we're going to take back Obamacare and replace it. And then they had 4 years and they did shit and they didn't have anything. We had 3 years to come up with some good candidates and good policy and get everyone up, and now we have, like, what, 20 people running?
21.
Yeah,
Michael 21. Bennett now.
Ugh. We didn't do anything. We talked about it, too. I know that in the news they were saying, we got to come up with policy, we got to find someone to put out there, and it seems like we all just kind of sat there and
we have people out there with the good ideas. I think it's just about the you know, we have the media that's moving a lot of opinion, too, and they seem to just really want to push this Biden thing.
Yeah.
And at times, like, maybe not be fully forthright with the way they're presenting those facts.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, according to the media, Biden has already run away with the nomination. And certainly there's going to be a bias towards, like, having a backlash story because that's what keeps people watching. But right now the story is being covered as though Biden has like taken the thing almost.
Yeah. And, you know, and then doing the same thing of like, oh, we don't want to get too radical. You know? We don't want to get too progressive because, you know, it'll happen. Let's just John Kerry it and see what happens.
I think that's definitely true what you were saying about like the fact like Biden doesn't have a policy position that's like that he's vocalized or like put into words that is a compelling response to like what Trump has done or what the Republicans have done. I do think that there are people, though, like Elizabeth Warren, who've been thinking about this her whole life.
Yeah.
Like, because she wanted to be president. And that's a good thing. You want somebody who's been, from day one, been like, yeah, this is how I would fix the country.
Right.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, present a... I mean, like, there's just not a world of view of the future of the country that Biden is presenting that is going to energize me.
Right.
You know, if, aside from just the... well, fuck, I'm going to vote against Trump thing.
Right.
That you're going to get more people to come out if you have someone up there who's presenting a vision of the future that is actually energizing rather than like, all right, well, let's just get this other fucking guy out. Like, rather than like, no, this person is actually like advocating for something that like is going to affect my life, is going to affect the lives of people, my family, et cetera, my community.
Yeah.
So. Now, to be devil's advocate, he doesn't really need to do that because one, for millennials and younger, he had some great memes.
Like,
that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Like, he can just bask in the glow of being in popular
nostalgia.
Favor.
Meme god, Joe Biden.
And then, of course, you have Obama. I think you guys did talk about this. Obama heading his ad in the very beginning. So he doesn't need to put the work out there, and he can slowly just sit and see how people respond to what Elizabeth Warren is doing.
Right.
And then he'll suddenly be like, I'm actually also very concerned about maternity mortality in the hospitals.
No, I mean, this is how what he's doing is like what everybody who is in politics will tell you is the smart thing to do. What Elizabeth Warren is doing is the exact opposite of what you're supposed to do, which is you sit back, wait and see how people feel about other people's policy positions. And then you like draft off of that and like pick and choose your spots and just like don't say anything that could possibly be controversial in a lead up. But I think, you know, Elizabeth Warren, out of probably desperation because she's being overshadowed by a, you know, implicitly misogynist media, like is like, well, here's one way I can do it, by having the best ideas. And that's somehow working. It'll be interesting.
Well, I think her rollout was just a little shaky. That didn't do her any favors.
Yeah.
But so I think now we're starting to see
Pocahontas stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, just the video wasn't that great. And people were just kind of like, it wasn't like this sort of instant enthusiasm. And I think now that works, there's some distance between that. And we're starting to see her policy positions and things like that. Now that's actually helping to elevate her position a little bit.
Yeah. Her coming in, it was an Instagram story, right? How she announced her candidacy?
There was, and then there was a video too. I mean, there's probably, it's multidimensional.
Yeah, right? But it was just cringy and kind of slow to start. But I don't think it can get much better unless someone offers like Cupcake Wednesdays too or something like that.
Ooh, free weed Wednesdays.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals.
Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and let's talk about who would be the ideal person if you were having a child to buy a baby gift for you.
For me, who would be like
this,
if
this is
like
an
a
awkward
celebrity?
Framing of talking about how Oprah gives the best.
Okay,
baby.
But no, let me think about this. Okay, if I aside from Oprah, because I think I actually would pick Oprah.
Yeah,
based on her favorite things and shit, I'm like, yo, Oprah's she knows about technologies and items that are 50 years in the future.
Yeah. Her book lists are great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was talking about Uggs in 1972.
Was she really?
No.
Oh.
but like that's a kind of wave I feel like she's on. She's
it was
like,
actually comfort.
Yeah. Yeah. Oprah, maybe Tinker Hatfield.
Yeah.
Just because I'm like, yo, just give me some sneakers.
Right, right.
Fuck this kid.
Well, so Oprah, she's working on a series with future dad, Prince Harry.
Yep.
And was asked what her thoughts were on a baby gift. And yeah. Miles, what did she say?
She said, I have a standard gift that I do for people that I really care about. So I don't know the baby's name or the baby's gender, but this baby will have enough books to last a lifetime.
Oh, boom.
So, okay, that's an interesting thing. But what we want to know a little bit more. Oprah, would you just give him like a fucking lifetime Audible subscription?
Right.
No. So, Mindy Kaling went.
Fucking amazing. She was like, a gold subscription to Audible for 6 months.
Yeah, it's like, that doesn't help my child even be literate, Oprah. Who cares? Bye. So, Mindy Kaling on A Wrinkle in Time, when they were doing press for that, she mentioned the gift that she had received from Oprah when she had her child, and the gift was extravagante, okay? So they said it was a hand-carved bookshelf engraved with Mindy's daughter's name, filled with 100 personalized books, and it was so large that it had to be delivered in a fucking moving truck.
Wow.
So.
Damn.
Weird flex, Oprah, but I'm here for it.
At the same time.
All of them Stephen King.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, your kid's going to love this.
Yeah.
She's not very optimistic about how fast this baby will read, because 100 books will not last you a lifetime, especially if they're children's books.
Maybe unless it's just like Anna Karenina.
Right.
Oh, man.
Like, here's a people's history of the United States. young child.
What does personalized books mean?
Maybe that they're like the covers are embossed like with the child's name.
Wow.
I thought maybe like because it's Oprah, she probably could do this, have every author if they're still alive or maybe bring them back from the dead. It's fucking Oprah.
Yeah.
And sign it to baby love.
Mark Twain.
Mark Twain. Yeah.
Yes.
Love Edgar Allan Poe.
Whoa.
You guys are fucking...
We don't wear V-necks.
Jack, gotta go.
Yeah.
We're starting our own show called Two People Saying the Exact Same Thing at the Same Time. We speak as one. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess personalized. Or what if she's just changing all the characters' names to the
right, that's what I was wondering. Because there are these personalized books that you can get that the only thing that changes is, like, the names. It's about, like, your kids. And it's like, for instance, we have Ramsay and Bo go together, like, and it's like a story about Ramsay and Bo playing together and like learning to be friends and learning to share and stuff. And it's a great gift. Well, shout out to my friend Dickie who gave that to us. So, and then we stole that gift idea and started giving it out. So there are personalized books that you can get. But
I like rewriting like literature.
Right. Yeah. I'm wondering if like it's just the Berenstain Bears have been like slightly altered to like look like the family that she's giving it to.
That would have a weird effect on the kid because then you go to school like reading all these books you think were about you.
What the fuck is this?
I mean, The Great Gatsby. I thought it was called The Great Greg.
Greg,
please go. All right, whatever. Yeah,
I'm sure a lot of people she buys gifts for are naming their kid Greg. Kim,
yes.
It has been such a pleasure having you here. Where can people find you?
You guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at the_red_dot. I put out comics every fucking day.
Right on. And they're very funny. And
some are trash.
I was going to say that, but no. And is there a tweet or other work of social media that you've been enjoying?
I have two, and I hope that's okay because one of them is from a pretty popular person.
Okay.
So the first one is from Karen Kilgariff from My Favorite Murder.
Never heard of her.
Yeah. But, you know, she's somewhat popular on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
But a tweet that she had was, they refused to chop my wedge salad, so now I'm just sitting here in a silent hotel room, sawing away at a quarter head of iceberg lettuce like a goddamn pioneer. And it's just the visual on that was, it's so true.
So hard to cut.
And then another one is from actually a friend of mine. He does comics as well, but he wrote, one of your balls may hang lower, but the other one is closer to your heart. And he's at Hot Paper Comics.
All right. Miles, where can people find you?
Find me, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. A tweet I like is from at KM Rob. But it was basically a screen grab. I don't know if you remember John Gosselin from John and Kate Plus Eight.
Mm-hmm.
But on his Instagram, this is not even a joke.
He has an Instagram.
Yes, he has an Instagram. And it says, this is from over the weekend. It says, Chili's Cinco de Mayo, Sunday, May 5th, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Chili's in Wyomissing, Pennsylvania. I don't even know if I'm saying that's that town right. With John Gosselin. And this motherfucker's DJing.
At Chili's.
At Chili's. In Pennsylvania, John Goss, remember John and Kate Plus Eight, that reality show where them people had all them fucking kids?
That's
beautiful.
He's a Chili's Cinco de Mayo DJ now.
And
her thing was just like, well, I know where I'm watching the Sixers game.
Oh, man.
Just like, it just blew my mind as someone who watches trash reality.
And his face right now is perfect. Isn't that just like peak?
And it's weird. There's like a logo that just says like G with headphones on, but I don't know what that even means. I guess that's
Gosling? Or he's gangsta.
I mean, look at that, DJ Daniel. Yeah. Shout out. I mean, and you know what the sad part is? I'm thinking he's on Serato. So he kind of respects the turntablism. I'm kind of mad. I was hoping it was CDJs, but he's got like 212s and like a rain mixer. Woo! Maybe we have to go to Cinco de Mayo next year or wherever. Hey, follow John Gosselin. Is he verified and I'm not? Anyway, salty about that.
Let's see here. Andy Richter tweeted, guys, I checked. Yep, another fucking Monday. Brendan O'Hare pointed out this sentence from a opinion piece by Hugh Hewitt called titled "The 2020 Election Isn't Going to Be Close," and he tweeted, Hugh Hewitt wrote, "The Green New Deal sounds like a bad science fair project where the smart kids got the colors to combine via an elaborate device and make all the, quote, lava flow back down the volcano's sides and the village is destroyed." And Brendan O'Hare tweeted, "I think that this is the least a sentence has ever made sense."
Quite true.
Yeah. Josh Letterman tweeted, "I see the Night King as a metaphor for evil." And Boog at Boog Tweets tweeted, "If the inventor of the four cheese pizza is ever murdered, you can bet your sweet cheese loving ass they're gonna question the three cheese pizza guy."
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did we already do that one?
No. Oh. I just know
it's true.
I'm like already, I already saw that conspiracy coming, man.
And finally, Yusuf Roach tweeted, "Hilarious that Sean Kingston had a hit single where he was just straight up like, yo, this girl is so damn hot, I am gonna kill myself."
What song is that?
Suicidal.
Oh, yeah. Whoa.
Yes.
Yeah. Damn, Yusuf.
You're so beautiful.
More from him.
Hey, we've all been there, right? You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page, and The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. We also have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
Let's do a little track by Conan Moccasin. I love Conan Moccasin. This is a track with him and Andrew Van Weygarten called Bad Boys. Say some bad boys.
I think it's pronounced Conan.
No, it's actually Conan.
Is it?
Yeah, bro, did you open for him?
Is that how it's spelled?
No, it's C-O-N-N-A-N.
Oh, okay.
Damn, dude.
I thought it was like C-O-N.
Wow, don't come for me, bro. I opened for Conan Moccasin years ago when I was in a band. Y'all don't know about that.
I didn't know it was actually close to Conan. I was trying to make it joke.
Then you caught my ego. See what happens?
Right. All right, that's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we will talk to you guys then.
Bye.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.